No. All right. Well, wait, did you get settled in here just a little bit? It's very disconcerting having mic or speakers behind you. All right, well, let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for this glorious day. Just what beautiful weather we're having here. Thank you that we can come together as your people and honor and glorify you. Father, we pray this morning that we would hear your voice, that we would be prompted by your Holy Spirit on the actions that we need to take, the lives that we need to live. And Father, everything we do here this morning hopefully will be glorifying and honoring to you as we give up a sacrifice of praise to you this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Job chapter 13. Open up your Bibles there. So how you doing reading through Job this week? Are you making it? It's a little bit of a struggle. So Job chapter 13, verses 13 through 15 says, "Refrain from talking with me so that I might speak. Then let come what may. Why do I put myself in peril and take my life in my hands? Even if he slays me," speaking of God, "I will hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. Moreover, this will become my deliverance, for no godless person would come before him." So Job, you know, as he's been under some attack, he's going through some really hard times. Yet I think this really does sum up Job. "Even though he slay me, I will still follow God." Job was a guy who, you know, I don't think Job was arrogant, even though, you know, I think his friends maybe thought that at times, that Job was kind of coming across as this kind of arrogant guy. What I think Job was is I think he was very confident in who God was. And he was very confident in the kind of life that he lived. And it's very clear at the beginning of Job that God looked at Job and said, "Yeah, this is a righteous guy. This is a guy who's following me with everything he has." And so as he's trying to defend himself with his friends, you know, he's definitely has those struggles in there with being confident in who God is, being confident in knowing where he's at, but also struggling with just the situation and what's going on. And to the point of, you know, at times saying, "It would have been better if I hadn't even been born." So he's struggling through this. You know, he was sure of who God was and what God could do, that you know, God wasn't taking him out. And so that there must be a reason for him to be there and to go through the things he was going through, even though most of what his friends were saying was not very encouraging. That they were very much in, "Oh, well, you know, you must be this rotten person that we really don't know about." Because they would have known him. They would have known the kind of guy he was. Job goes on to say that he wasn't afraid of death. He wasn't afraid of death. And one of the things that I read this week said the possibility there could be that Job was completely confident that even if he died, he would still be vindicated when he stood before God. That whether he lived or whether he died, he would be vindicated before God. And ultimately, we will find that out, that Job is going to be vindicated. Job, I think, had a better understanding of God, really, than his contemporaries. I had really never looked into, like, who really was Job? You know, when was he in history? Because where we're reading him chronologically isn't really when Job lived. Some of the thoughts are that, you know, he's putting the book of Job in this place because of the encouragement it was for the people in exile, that they would have known the story of Job. But Job was actually clear back with the patriarchs, like right after Abraham, right in that era. And so you think about his understanding of God and where he would have gotten that from. He lived more than likely kind of in the Arabian desert, kind of more in that area. So it's very interesting as I looked into Job, why was he even a follower of God? You know, there was that influence there, and we've talked about that before, the influences in our lives that help us follow God and the influences that we need to be to influence others about God and who God is. In Colossians 1:25, Paul talks about this mystery. In Colossians 1:25-27, it says, this is Paul speaking to the church in Colossae. It says, I became a servant of the church according to the stewardship from God given to me for you, in order to complete the word of God. That is the mystery that has been kept hidden from ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. God wanted to make known to them the glorious riches of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So really the big mystery is what Christ is going to do and how Christ is going to operate. I don't know if you caught through the reading here, Job alluded to a redeemer, to a savior. And it was one just little bitty short passage. But I read that and went, Job's understanding of God was pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Because God has kept things a mystery over the ages. God does not reveal everything to us. In 1 Corinthians 2, Paul, again, speaking of this hidden mystery that God in ages past has kept from people, but eventually would bring it out for our glory, for the glory of the Gentiles, which was a very hard thing for the Jews, of course, to grasp, that the Gentiles were going to have any part of God and any part of what they might have. But yet, way back, we've read this way back in the Old Testament, this issue of God was going to save the Gentiles also. It's been there. It's been there forever. But yet the Jews have really struggled with that. Job trusted God because he understood God. Even though he didn't understand the circumstances necessarily, he understood who God was and that somehow God was in this and God was working. In 2 Samuel 24, I'm going to start at, I'm in verse 13 through 17, but I'm going to kind of pick and pull some things out of there. So if you want to turn to 2 Samuel 24, starting with verse 13, this is where David had done a census, and God was not happy about this. And so the prophet comes to David and said, well, here's what God says. Here's what's going to happen. Because you did this and you shouldn't have done it, you can choose. He was given David the option. You can choose 7 years of famine, 3 months before your foes while they pursue you, or 3 days of pestilence in your land. So he gave him the choice. God said, here's your choice. But this is what I really want you to get is with David's response. So then David says, I am in great distress. Let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning until the appointed time. David's understanding of God, knowing that, okay, if this discipline needs to happen, I want it to come directly from God because I know who God is. I mean, here's what God ends up doing. So in verse 16, it says, when the angel stretched out his hand toward Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from that calamity. And he said to the angel who destroyed the people, it is enough. Now relax your hand. David made the right choice because God was gracious and compassionate. Yes, he carried out discipline, but he knew when to stop also. David trusted God, just as Job is trusting God, even though he's in the midst of this stuff that's going on that he doesn't completely understand, he's still trusting God. One of the things, too, that I have to continue to remind myself is those followers of God prior to Jesus didn't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't dwell in them like he does in us now. And so sometimes their understanding wasn't complete because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. And here's what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. This is in John 14, verse 26. So Jesus, talking to his disciples, says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So the Holy Spirit is here to help us, to teach us, where, you know, these guys in the Old Testament, they didn't specifically have the Holy Spirit there living in them constantly, helping them along the way. But I have to say, there are days that I really struggle with, seriously, the Holy Spirit's here? Then why am I having such a hard time with this? Why don't I understand that? Well, because there's also sin in the world. Because there's also human nature that is wrestling inside of us also. To really just totally give over to the Holy Spirit is hard. It's hard because of human nature. So the Holy Spirit who's given to us in Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, Paul talking about kind of this process, starting in verse 13 of Ephesians 1, it says, in him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed with him, the Holy Spirit of promise. In other words, God has given us the Holy Spirit as a promise of what he's going to do with us in the future. He's given to us as a pledge of our inheritance. We are adopted into God's family. We're going to hold that place. And he's saying, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit as this pledge. You will inherit the kingdom. With a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Us being God's possession. We are given the Holy Spirit as a pledge, as a promise. God's saying, my word is true and what I will accomplish in you, I'm promising to do. And Job had this understanding that he could kind of look outside of his circumstances. He could look at the kind of life that he was living. And I think he was very truthful and honest with himself to be able to say, I can't find any fault. So why is this happening? Where all his friends were coming and saying, well, there must be fault. Otherwise, this wouldn't happen. You know, and that's one of the things that we will hear is, well, okay, you're going through this because, well, you must have done something, right? You must have done X. That's why, you know, this is all happening to you. No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Sometimes it's discipline. Sometimes it's just training. God is just teaching us through the circumstances of life how we're to live, how we're to live. There's sin in the world, and it has affected the whole world. And there's going to be just consequences from that, that it's just going to, stuff's going to happen to us just because of that. Sometimes it's because of what we've done, but there's times when it has nothing to do with what we've done. It's just part of life. It's just the workings that God is doing. Sometimes what God is doing in us isn't so much for us as it may be for those around us to see how do we respond. How do we work through this stuff? Helping them to see that. So wrapping up here, looking at 1 Peter, just kind of as a final passage to leave you with, kind of covers several areas here that we've seen in Job. So in 1 Peter 5, starting in verse 6, it says, "Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. "And God will exalt you in due time if you humble yourselves under his mighty hand by casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. Be sober and alert. Your enemy, the devil, like a roaring lion, is on the prowl looking for someone to devour. Resist him, strong in your faith, because you know that your brothers and sisters throughout the world are enduring the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him belongs the power forever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, this is one of the things of life that we go through that is so hard at times, and some of the struggles that we go through, and why do we have to go through this, and why is this happening to me, or why is that happening to my friend or my family? And sometimes the explanation is because there's sin in the world. It has ruined the world. It has corrupted us. It has corrupted the world. There is also those times when we have to be very honest with ourselves and look and say, well, this really is God's discipline. I have not been doing what I should have been doing, and this is God getting my attention. There may be other times when we have to just come to the conclusion that I don't know what's going on, maybe as Job has done here, and just say, but God is God. And I absolutely trust in you. Father, help us through the strength, through the power, through the teaching, through your Holy Spirit, to know how to respond in these different situations as they come into our lives. Because we're always going to face something. At some point in our life, there's going to be some of those hard times that come that are just absolutely we can't explain. And that's when we need to absolutely turn and focus on you, the one who is unchanging, the one who we can absolutely trust that you are in control, and have our faith in you, that you will do a work in us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to go over just a few, more than a few announcements.